This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. The spokeswoman for Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, Kira Yarmish, Saturday confirmed Navalny has died, citing an official notice given to Navalny's mother. Speaking in a video statement, Yarmish said the official notice said Navalny died at 2:17 p.m. local time Friday. Russian prison officials said the 47-year-old Navalny fell unconscious and died after a walk at the Polar Wolf Arctic Penal Colony in Karp, about 1,900 kilometers northeast of Moscow, where he was serving a three-decade sentence. In her statement, Yarmish said Navalny was killed and his body was taken to Solokgard, the town near the prison complex, by Russian investigators who were conducting what she described as research. She demanded his body be released to his family immediately. Meanwhile, Russian officials reportedly cracked down on those in the country who would memorialize Navalny. The Away's Tommy McNeil has more.
According to the political watchdog AVD Info, more than 100 people have been detained in eight cities across Russia after they came to lay flowers in memory of Navalny. On Saturday, police blocked access to a memorial in the Siberian city of Novosibirsk and detained several people there as well as another Siberian city surrogate. The news of Navalny's death comes less than a month before an election that will give Putin another 6 years in power. It brought renewed criticism of the Kremlin leader, who has cracked down on all opposition at home. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky Saturday said his country's defense against Russian troops is being limited by a lack of long-range missiles and artillery shells. Speaking in a Munich security conference, Zelensky made a fresh appeal for more weapons and ammunition.
Dear friends, unfortunately, keeping Ukraine in the artificial deficit of weapons, particularly in deficit of artillery and long-range capabilities, allows Putin to adapt to the current intensity of the war.
This is VOA News. Hospital officials say two Israeli airstrikes on Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah overnight killed at least 13 people, including nine members of the same family. The strikes come a day after, speaking at the White House, U.S. President Joe Biden cautioned once again Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu against moving forward with a military operation into Rafah without a credible executable plan to protect about 1.4 million Palestinians sheltering there. Biden said he has had several conversations with Netanyahu in recent days in which he cautioned against a ground invasion.
I've made the case, and I feel very strongly about it, that there has to be a temporary ceasefire. I'm still hopeful that that can be done. And in the meantime, I don't anticipate, I'm hoping that Israelis will not make any massive land invasion.
However, Israel's defense minister said the country is thoroughly planning its promised ground invasion of Rafah, and Netanyahu vowed Friday to reject international dictates on a long-term resolution of Israel's conflict with Palestinians. Outgoing Netherlands Prime Minister Mark Rutte Saturday called on his fellow Europeans at the Munich Security Conference that Europe should stop whining about what former U.S. President and current presidential candidate Donald Trump might do, and focus instead on what it could do for Europe. Trump this week sparked outrage in Europe, saying that if reelected in November, he would not defend NATO allies who failed to spend enough on defense. Speaking as part of a panel at the security conference, Rutte said European leaders should focus on what they can control.
The juveniles are being detained in the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Center.
I apologize, that's the wrong piece of sound. Rutte said Europe should in any case be spending more on defense and ramping up ammunitions productions because defeating Putin in Ukraine is crucial for all of Europe. Nigerians are facing one of the African nation's worst economic crises in years. It was triggered by surging inflation, the result of monetary policies that have pushed the currency to an all-time low against the dollar. The situation has provoked anger and protests across the country. The latest government statistics released this week showed the inflation rate in January rose to just less than 30%, its highest since 1996, mainly driven by food and non-alcoholic beverage costs. Nigeria's currency, the Naira, further plummeted to 1,524 to $1 on Friday, reflecting a 230% loss of value in the last year. The plummeting currency worsens an already bad situation, further eroding Nigerians' income and savings. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.